he doesn't feel those things. And so those are initially in the garden, those things were foreign to Adam and Eve until they ate that apple, whatever it was. Until then, they were at peace with themselves and with God, right? I like to think, you know, and just my little way my mind goes, I like to think that they actually lived their hundreds or thousands of years before they did that. Why not? I just think that they had that amazing time. Because it feels true, we tend to embrace it. Because it feels true, we tend to embrace it as truth in our life, right? That's the clincher right there. Then, subconsciously, we attach a benefit to it in hopes that it will make good use of the negative emotion we were feeling. So, fear. Fear is the expectation of something bad happening. If I am expecting something bad, so that initial time that I got hit with fear, and I'll tell you when it was. I used to, when I was a little girl, we lived here in Indiana, but I actually, most of my life, lived in Arizona, most of my growing up life and young adult. I grew up in Arizona, but when we lived here, until I was six, we had an old farmhouse. The last house we lived in was an old farmhouse, and my parents didn't tuck me in. They didn't do that. But they would send us up to bed, and I, for some reason, was always the first one that had to go up the stairs in the dark and turn on my light. I was freaked out by that because it's old houses are creaky, right? And I'm just a little 5 and 6 year old, and I have to go up those steps by myself, and there's shadows and noises, and it's an old house, and I have to figure out how to turn on my light, bedroom light. So I would get up to the stairs, turn on my bedroom light, and then I would run and get my covers back. I figured this out at 5 and 6. I'd pull my covers back, and then I'd have to go back over to the wall and turn out the light and make a beeline for my bed and jump and put the covers over my bed, my head. That was my first initial response with fear. And then it grew to be many things as I grew up, because the enemy will keep poking it and poking it and poking it and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. So pretty soon I'm afraid of airplanes, and I think I told you that story last time, airplanes, spiders, elevators, bridges, everything. So what I did was I attached, if I hold the expectation of fear, then I'm never going to have that initial shock again of being taken by surprise, right? So I'm going to always be expecting something bad to happen. If I'm expecting something bad to happen, I've got a cushion. So I'm actually using fear. I've now put a value on it so that I can use it now as self-protection. So I'm using fear to protect me from fear. That's basically what it boils down to. Isn't that silly? Okay, it's silly logically, but our emotions are telling us something else. It felt like it was working for a long time. And it felt better than getting hit with fear every time, having it come fresh on me every time. We do the same thing with being rejected. If I hold on to rejection, that initial rejection hurt, right? Has anybody ever felt rejected? Oh, yeah, look at all you. All you. All of you. So that initial hit hurt, right? So we don't like that hurt. Oh, my goodness, we don't want to feel pain. No, I've never, and if you like to feel pain, you need to come and see me later. But we don't like to feel pain. That hurts, like our heart, it crushes our heart. And so we're going to do something about that. So if I hold on to rejection, then now I have the expectation of it, right? So now I'm using it as a buffer because I know how to be there. I don't ever have that unbridled expectation of being loved and accepted. Now I've got a cushion there that's going to keep me from being ever hurt that bad again. Right? That's the way it works. So the benefit is put in place in order to try and help with my well-being. Does that make sense? Okay, y'all getting this benefit thing? All right, I thought there's another, at the bottom of your page, I want you to write this, because this is one I didn't put on here that needs to go on here. I couldn't think of them all at the time. Because there's so many, and you're going to have more than these, you know, just these should get your juices flowing so that you can think in that vein. But when you're doing a value exchange on yourself and you have trouble thinking about what that negative feeling is doing for you when you're holding it, just run through these benefits. If I hold on to fear, say, could be rejection, could be a lot of things right there, then I won't be caught off guard and I'll be ready for it. If I hold on to whatever, then I won't be vulnerable. It's going to cushion you somehow. At the very end of this, put, if I hold on to blank, I will stay humble. Yeah. We don't like the feeling. Most people don't. I have met people. I had a father-in-law that actually loved pride. I mean, it was a real conflict. He was the most prideful person I think I'd ever met up until that point. But he was also one of the most loving and generous. I never figured it out. But we don't like, as Christians, the feeling of pride when it crops up. So we'll put things in place sometimes to keep us from being prideful. The spirit of religion wants to do that, wants to keep you held down so that you don't get too prideful. So those should be a couple of tools that will help you move forward. And I just wanted to be more clear. This third one is a worksheet. Marquito made this up, and it's so helpful. It's powerful. I would encourage you not to write on this one, but make a copy of it, some copies of it for yourself, and use it as you're working through until you get the hang of this. Chris, in my bag, in the front, one of the front pouches, I have some little of those little cards. It's not, no, the little one of the side front ones. I think it's the other one, actually. And I have some little cards that are prompt cards. And it will help you when you're doing a value exchange. You'll be able to just, and you're out shopping or something, you get stirred up. You can go to a corner and just pull out this little card, and it helps you, prompts you through the basics of the value exchange so you can take yourself through. So I also wanted to give that tool to you. So this is really helpful. It's been, a lot of people have loved this, and there's a place for notes. Honey, could you bring me the benefit page back there that's printed back there? Because there's something on the back of that we need to look at. Just the benefits page. Yeah. Just the benefit. Yeah. But, yeah, I had her put it on the back. Yeah, this is right. So on the back of that page, the value exchange benefits is breaking the resistance. But before we do that, I would like to invite Betty to come up here. And Betty has experienced some serious illness in her life. And so I'd like her to share a little bit about, can you step up here and share a little bit. She, I did a live demonstration with her last week, and so then she called me through the week, and we worked a little bit more. But we were working on one of the things I want to talk tonight about is body image. We struggle with our bodies, especially if we have long-term illness, or we think we're too tall or too short or too... I had a whole list of body image issues, and aging is one that I'm struggling with. Not at the moment, because I keep after that, but it's when you get older, you start getting older, your body starts changing and you start seeing wrinkles, or your hair doesn't act right, or it's now gray or whatever, you know, and all these things start happening, and you don't think about that ever happening to you when you're young, but when it starts to hit you, then as especially women, we struggle with body image. And I had an experience with a woman just this last week, and I was talking about this in another training I'm doing at another place. And I started talking about the age thing and how I've had to do value exchanges with the age and accepting my body. And she's like, I have age issues. And I said, okay, what are you struggling with? And she said, I hate my hair because it doesn't lay flat now. In a ponytail, you know, it doesn't lay flat. It's got all these fuzzing and I have to hairspray it. And she was describing all of that. And I said, well, do you want to work on that right now? Sure. So I just started asking her some questions. What do you feel about being older? And how's that make you feel? What's the benefit of that feeling? And she went right through it. And when we laid that on the altar and she broke agreement with it, the Lord, she just started crying. And she said, the Lord gave her wisdom in exchange for the anger she had towards her body for aging. He gave her wisdom. And so she's mature enough, you know, that hit her like, wow, I'll take that any day, any day. And I said, so how you feel about your hair? I love my hair. And it just changed her whole countenance. So I would encourage you, if you have body issues or long-term illness, which I'm going to talk with Betty right now, because she's been there. And so could you just explain your worst, where you were when you started inner healing, at your worst?
Before the inner healing back in 1993, when I was pregnant with my first child, I had fallen in the hallway. I couldn't get up. I had gone into a paralyzation, which I want to say almost 8 years later, I had gotten a diagnosis of stiff man syndrome. And so the body just goes into paralyzation. And so they thought it was everything from MS to multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's. I mean, all kinds of things. We had been everywhere. And then at IU Medical Center, a neurologist had diagnosed me. And so they started me on infusions. And so I was in and out of the hospital all the time. There was one case where I was in the hospital, and they were losing me, and they were giving me infusion after infusion. They ambulanced me to Indy. They almost lost me there. This was just 3 years ago. So they kept me there. And a year ago, I was in the hospital, similar symptoms. But since I started with inner healing, and also I was in... Stiff man syndrome is when your body goes stiff. Some of them will go, like my daughter has it, where she'll go really tight and where her bones look like they're going to break. Her fingers will go in odd directions, and she'll just pass out at Kmart or wherever she's at. And for me, I just go limp. And I go into where I can hear, but I don't know I can't see my surroundings or anything. I can't blink. When I start coming out of it, I can blink a yes and no, one or two blinks.
Does it affect the organs?
It can. And so
it isn't curable.
No. It's not curable. No. Supposedly. But then we have God. God gives us other ways around things. So I was doing the infusions at least biweekly, if not more. So I was down more than I was, and I was having full-time care. I had someone coming and taking care of my kids. I was in a wheelchair part of the time, and a cane a lot of the time. And so then went through a divorce. That was traumatic, too, for the body. I had a teenager that took me a lot of stress. So stress didn't help. So I started with the inner healing, and a lot of friends, and many of you are here, that have helped me through this process. Thank you, Elnora, one of my big ones. And so just that staying with me and through it, and then helping me with the inner healing and figuring out the lies that I was believing. I am down now to the last infusion I had was January. Wow. And I'm maybe one paralyzation every 2-3 months. I mean, it's just major. So.
So we, so she did the live, one of the live demonstrations last week. And she called me this week contacted me. And so we worked a little bit more on accepting the body. Negative feelings, because I'll guarantee you, every one of you that have had long-term illness, you'll get angry at some point. You'll start thinking negative at your body, with your body. You're going to get frustrated at it, angry. You're going to start, oh, my goodness, you know, here we go again. And it starts this cycle of negativity, of self-rejection. And so we worked some more on that. So before we started working, how did you feel about your body?
There were times where I'd speak curse words on my body. It would be my shoulder. You know, I did surgery on my right shoulder, and during that time, it'd be like, I wish it wasn't even here. You know, I wish I could just cut it off so that I don't feel this pain, because it would just excruciating. We're talking a 9 pain, like you're going to pass out. It's like somebody jerking your shoulder out of the socket, that type of pain. And it's just like, so I didn't want it. I had broken my foot with my shoulder at the same time, and so I didn't want my foot. So I spoke a lot of curse words over myself, not realizing until we were doing the inner healing last week. And God had spoken to me just before we had come, I want to say a day or two before that. He was saying, you know what? I just had that inner of, I was raised in a family that talked about health issues all the time. Somebody was sick all the time. And it became an identity. So I picked up an identity of health issues. So we broke that off last week. And yeah.
Yeah. So we worked on the benefits of being angry at your body and being negative towards it. So one of the benefits is in hopes that your body is going to come into alignment and get better. You know, it's kind of a, doesn't work, but what that actually does is that cursing. So I want to be very clear right here. There's a lot of teaching out there that says, oh my goodness, she just said she had stiff man syndrome and she's cursed herself. She's cursed herself. She shouldn't say that. She shouldn't say that word over herself, right? Have you, anybody else heard that? Yeah. You cannot curse yourself by just saying what you're struggling with. Because curse has to have intent behind it. It has to have a heart intent behind it. And her heart is not to curse. Not now. Her heart, but in saying what she just said, is not. She's not intentionally, I've got stiff man syndrome, and I want it, you know, or I want it, or it's like a curse is something you want to happen. It's, you've got power behind it because your heart's aligned with it. Does that make sense? So just stating putting a label on what she's struggling with so she knows how to take care of it is not cursing. Marquito. Yes.
And you don't like your orange nose.
Right.
No one argues with the fact that the nose is ugly.
Yes. Right. So it's getting, so aging is true, right? I'm getting wrinkles. It's like a fact. My body cannot, you can sit down. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, share too, she just shared with me a little while ago that her, for the first time now, she feels a part of her body. She feels connected to it. Where before she felt disconnected. And that was also a protection. I don't want to be associated with this, you know. And so you disconnect from it. So you're not trying not to own it. So now she feels unified with her body and loves and accepts herself for who she is. That's huge. That takes the pressure, the negative pressure off your body to begin healing, right? Which she's done a lot of work. And so that healing up the emotions, she's proof, so am I, of what healing the emotions, the power of it. Because now your body's no longer stressed out. So say you have a big cauliflower nose. You were a boxer early in your life and you got that big nose. Only the Lord can bring acceptance right there. And so So it's like finding, with me, I have to find the benefit of hating wrinkles or whatever I'm struggling with. Hating that, what's the benefit of that? Well, it's going to make me try harder to find the right cream or do something about it, right? You can even sometimes to punish yourself. Or if I reject me because I have wrinkles, then people are not gonna, because our society, honestly, does not respect age. Have any of you older people noticed that? You know, there's jokes all over Facebook about the old lady driver or the being older. You hear it. So there's no honor in aging. There's shame. Our society wants to put shame on it. So it's really helping me to make sure that I'm not putting benefits on negative feelings having to do with that. And so right now I'm feeling pretty darn good about being 65. You know, it's like, why not? And when I'm 95, I'm going to still be feeling good. Because I know I don't want that negativity. It doesn't feel good, and it doesn't bring honor to the Lord. My spirit is young. Your spirit is young, and there's life in you till you take your last breath, and you might as well go out in glory rather than negativity, right? So you empower what you're beholding, what you're thinking. So breaking the resistance. Let's look at that a minute. The Lord gave me a new word to use with this, entrenched. Did that answer your question? Okay. Entrenched. We get entrenched in our pain, our negativity, negative things that we're holding on to. Entrenched. To place within or surround with a trench, especially for defense. This is the purpose of the benefit. The benefit surrounds the negative, like worry. If I hold on to worry, I put a benefit on worry that it's going to keep that thing always in front of me, and so I'm going to work harder to figure it out. That's the trench. And so I can't let go of the trench because then I won't have any defense. Does that make sense? There are times when a negative belief comes so strongly entrenched in our minds that life without it seems impossible. Anything that you have carried since early childhood is like that. It seems life, you know better, you know you shouldn't have this thing. Rejection. If you got rejected by a parent, especially in early childhood, or school kids are mean, you're going to carry that thing all through life, and you don't know what life looks like without it. And so when you think of, even though you know you've got a benefit there, you can figure all that out, but to give it up seems you're hesitant. You'll hold back because you can't imagine what it would be like not to have it. Even if you don't want it, Betty.
With that negative belief, others can see it on you.
Yes.
But they can't speak it into you.
That's right.
You will not receive it unless the Lord tells you. When the Holy Spirit tells you.
Yes.
Like, oh.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to, because we also speak wisdom to ourselves that we don't believe. And we'll speak wisdom, we'll try to, we want to speak words of comfort and encouragement to people. But you're not, if you have a strong self-hatred, say, you're not going to accept those words of comfort very deep. They're not going to heal your heart. It might have a little brief, wow, thank you. And then you'll turn and go right back into it because you're so convinced. But when we can get to that place, so we're gonna talk about getting past that. There are times when it becomes so strongly entrenched in our minds that life without it seems impossible. Consciously, our wisdom may even rise up to speak truth, but even the truth seems like the bigger lie. Our heart cannot fathom life without it. Doing a value exchange is not even a possibility. You're stuck. You ever been stuck with something? A concept that you're trying to learn or a belief you're trying to embrace? And you just get stuck. There's no grid for life without, say, fear. Here is how you'll be able to get past that resistance. So I use these two ways most often because they're very powerful. But I will ask questions. So ask yourself questions like, how would it feel not to have fear there? What's the worst thing that would happen? You know, start pulling out of yourself the things that you believe that's holding that, keeping you stuck right there. What if I let go of fear, even though I don't have a grid or any idea what it would look like, how would it feel to me to trust God for that? Because you might have some God issues there. You might feel like he's the one that abandoned you. And so you're sure not going to let him talk to you about it because there's also probably anger there or feelings that I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, God doesn't love me. You're going to have some God things that you need to clear up. So start asking yourself some questions to see what you're really feeling that's holding that in place. Number one, once you get some of those things cleared up and it still feels very strong, simply ask the Lord to give you a grid. If you feel okay between you and God, just ask him to give you a grid for life without fear. What would that look like? Because I can't imagine. Can't imagine. Your prayer should go something like this. Lord Jesus, I find myself resisting your healing here because I cannot fathom life without fear. I've never known any other way to think. Could you please give me a grid for life without fear? He's so happy to do that. So happy to do that. When you pray like that and you're asking God to connect with you and give you understanding about something, you need to take off all the expectations on how he would do that. If you put the expectation that he's going to talk to you and you're going to hear him, then you've just put him in a box. The expectation that you need to have when you're doing inner healing is, I'm going to receive from him. I'm going to receive. And so then you're open to hearing, seeing, smelling, feeling, knowing, or simply you go back into a memory where you felt that before and it suddenly feels peaceful because you received without knowing it, because you didn't get the, you didn't hear, you didn't do all your traditional ways of hearing or receiving from God weren't there, and he surprised you. He's good that way. He likes to bump it up. He doesn't want us to have. I had someone recently that is young, and she has very her experience with the Lord is of course limited because she's young, and so I asked her if she knew how to hear or see or what, you know, how did the Lord usually communicate with her. And she said, well, occasionally I see a picture, but she didn't really know how to hear, but she had a couple times, and she was kind of vague on what. So I'm like, okay, so I just explained to her, all you have to do is be open to receiving. However, because he'll get in there. You just have to have that confidence about God, because his heart, he is Jehovah Rapha. The God who heals. That is one of his names, and he cannot not be faithful to who he is. He loves to heal. And we give him place in our hearts to come in and be our comfort and to transform the lie into truth. And he'll do it. But he doesn't want to be limited on how he does it, because he knows every wall that you have in there, every hesitation, every doubt, everything. And so he's going to get in such, so all you, if you just got your receivers up, he'll find an entrance. Does that make sense? He'll find it. Unless there's no entrance. And then he's not going to push down the door. So just opening your receivers also then, So we did the first exchange with her. We found she quickly got on to the younger kids, really get this real easy, the lie and the benefit. She got that real easy, so we took her through the first, Barb was in with me, and took her through the first exchange, and she goes, oh, God is here. And I said, how can you tell? And she goes, because I know, because when he's here, I get tingly. And I said, great, that's awesome. So she got healing, felt really good, no longer felt true. It was pretty awesome. So then we did the next one that we did, and we did the exchange. She walked through it like a breeze, and she goes, nothing changed. I said, what do you mean nothing changed? Well, I didn't hear anything, nothing. I didn't get tingly. I said, oh, well, let's just check it. So let's go back into a memory where you know you felt that pain before. And I want you to step into that memory and see how it feels. See if it's still there. Is it peaceful? And she did, and she goes, it's peaceful. It's not there. I said, so if I repeat this back to you, and I don't remember what it was, but if I repeat this back to you that I'm unlovable, no, I'm unloved, how does that feel to you? She goes, that's not true. So see, the Lord right there bumped it up and was trying to get her not to put him in a box. So I'd encourage you, if you're used to hearing, stop that. Ask for more. The Lord frustrated me with it. I used to hear easily. I could just hear. Anytime I wanted to hear, I could hear. And then I got into just having that confidence that I was going to be able to hear. Well, then he shut that off. except when I was prophesying over someone or in prophecy, prophetic. That was the only time. But for myself, I couldn't hear. And he turned it off. And I'm like, huh. And then so then you start asking yourself, what did I do? What's am I not spending enough hours? Am I not, you know, you start going through all that. And I finally figured it out. He just wanted me to go more. He wanted to stretch me and have expectation of all the ways that he speaks to me. So that opened up sight and feeling, all kinds of things. Knowing increased really strong. So let God grow you. Don't automatically think he's pulled away or I've done something wrong. Those are the two things we'll go to right away. Just know he's always reaching for you. He's not pulling away. So what he's wanting you to do is come in closer. You search it out. Search that matter out. Pull in. So number two, if there's still resistance, even from when the Lord can give you a grid, you can still resist. You've heard him or saw or however he got that truth into you. He gave you a grid. I've had people describe the grid to me, but they still cannot give it up. Just can't do it. At that point, just say this. I command the power of that lie that I need to stay in fear, or whatever it is, to back down now in Jesus' name. This will cause the demonic influence behind that, whatever it is, to momentarily back down so that you can receive from the Lord. Sometimes things have that demonic influence because it's like generational or it's been there so long and gotten so strong and they like to keep it poked. And so we just cannot release it. And so just do that. You have authority over them. They don't have authority over you unless you give it because you're in charge. So if you give them authority, they'll take it. Right? So it's time we stand up in our authority and break that influence off of yourself. So just know that's just what it is. I've never had that fail. Never. That's how powerful it is. But you have to know it, that'll happen. Usually I do that because I do sessions on my own, but I also take a lot of people through sessions. And so I'll just do it for them. It makes me mad. I just get like that. That's not playing fair. And so I just break the power because I know I can. So the enemy will operate within your level of belief. So be careful what you believe because you're either empowering him or recognizing he has no power but deception over you. The more confident you are in that, the more you're not going to have any trouble with him. Any questions about that or anything we've talked about so far? You guys are so quiet. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Our thought life is powerful. What we believe for good or bad will manifest in our outward actions at some point. You can hide things for a while, but at some point, it's going to come out. Our free will is the most powerful gift we've been given. Choosing to be free changes our atmosphere from darkness into light. And talking about free will, do you know that you cannot have love without free will? That's why we have free will. We can choose. So we choose love. Choose to love. Love is a choice. And that's why God gives us free will. But in free will, we also can choose sin. And So when bad things happen to innocent children or good people, it's because there's free will. But because there's free will, there's love. So God is always here to redeem the bad thing that has happened. But we get angry because we think, well, God didn't protect me, or he didn't protect that little girl, or he didn't stop it. He could have stopped it. He could have stopped us from losing our house or going bankrupt, or he could have. And we get angry because it feels like, because we know he has the power to do it, right? Y'all know God's all powerful. But he created us to rule and reign on this earth. He didn't create it so that he could control it. He gave us free will, and we chose to eat the fruit, and that brought in sin. So now we have free will to choose. We're still choosing good or bad. Everybody is. So if somebody has a bent on bad because of woundedness, the power of God to redeem that woundedness and bring restoration and healing is far greater than the enemy's power to bring the hurt in the first place. There is not one thing that the enemy can do to someone or cause someone to do to another that God can't restore. There's not one. Who has the greater power? God. That's right. We have to know that about him. The more you know his character, that is huge, that we know the heart of God. And we know what love is. Love comes with a price. It's free will. And how we choose is everything. What we choose to believe, what we choose, how we choose to walk out life, what we choose, we empower. Another thing I want to share with you right here is that when you're doing a session with yourself or with somebody else, and I want you to know that there are times that you can say you see a picture, and it's the Lord doing something, or it's he steps into your healing by a visual of him, or you're going to have a see an angel, or you could. I was before the Lord the other day. I have 5 grandsons that are all 19 to 25. Whew. And they're struggling. This millennial age is struggling. They struggle with the spiritual. They struggle emotionally. They're struggling. They're amazing kids, but they're struggling. And so this Nana's heart, you know, weeps and prays over them. And so I was like, it can get pretty dark. It can get pretty dark. And so I was praying over them. So I did an exchange, because I don't entertain that negative stuff. I'm quick to get right in there because I don't like it. And I saw an angel come walking towards me, and they were holding the word hope in 3D. It was huge, a big 3D word of hope. And she brought that to me and handed it to me. And oh my goodness, the hope that flooded me. So I know that that angel was from the Lord, because God is hope. And she was very deliberate walking towards me. Like, she wasn't messing around. And there wasn't anything good to get in her way. And she gave me this hope, and I felt this hope rise up. And nothing's changed with my grandchildren, but I know it will. I have hope, right? Okay, so if you're in a session with yourself or somebody else and you see Jesus do something that is out of his character, don't assume it's Jesus. Matter of fact, you know it's not. Be wise in what you accept, even if it's in the image of God, in his, like, the likeness of Christ or the likeness of an angel. The enemy poses as an angel of light, right? It will have a measure of truth connected to it, but it will be twisted in some way that will tip you off, or should tip you off. So if it's out of character for Christ, and he comes up and he says something like, well, you know you shouldn't have done that, so now you're just paying the price. Okay, there is consequence to sin, right? But would Jesus say that to you? That's not in his character. So if it doesn't line up with his character, don't accept it, and you command it to go. It's a false Jesus or a false angel, false representation of an angel or God the Father. They'll try to twist the truth, but it'll have a ring of truth to it, just enough, because it's deception. He's the deceiver. So be wise. Don't just accept it for face value just because it looks like Jesus or it looks like an angel, right?
Is that part of the testing of the Spirit?
Yes. Yes. And you know immediately, because that's why it's so important for us not to know just about God, that his robe fills the temple and he's omnipresent and omniscient and all those amazing things. We need to know that, but we need to be convinced that God is love. That every good thing originates with him, like faithfulness. God is faithful. He is faithful. That's who it originates with him, right? He is peace. Peace originates with him, or he couldn't give it to us, right? He couldn't be our peace if it didn't originate. So anything that is out of his character, we have to be so convinced of his character that we're not going to be deceived when deception comes and tries to trick us. Okay? But you have to know the character, his character. So press into what the words that, like the Beatitudes and the, because we're made in his image. We have the same character within us. It's just flawed. It's messed up. And so we look at God and think he's messed up. You know, we judge him by the way we judge our fathers. Or, I mean, that's just natural. It's in children to look at. That's the natural way a family is set up, that fathers are supposed to represent the Father. Right? Mothers represent Holy Spirit and Jesus, you know. And there's a mix in there. But if a father rises up and rejects that child or is angry and punished, does a lot of punishing, the child more than likely will grow up thinking that God the Father is mean and angry. It's because they don't know his character, for one thing. But they have this, you know, then there's this lie in place with a benefit. And so moving forward, be careful when you're doing sessions, because sometimes, I don't have it happen very often, really. I don't know if it's just because the enemy knows better when I'm doing a session with somebody. But it doesn't matter. It does happen, and it's subtle, and it will trick you if you don't know the character of the Lord or your Bible, what it has to say about God. So just be... If it doesn't ring true in your heart as that, oh, God would do that, then it's not the Lord. Jesus healed every single person that came to him for healing. So you know that's his character. And he said, I only do what the Father, I see the Father doing. That's his character. If he tells you anything different, it's not him. Ephesians. That regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. Having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for salvation. It is important that you be confident in your understanding that Jesus has, he always has healing for you. We do not fight flesh and blood, but an enemy who hates God and those made in his image. And you know his goal? His goal, more than killing you, he doesn't really, I mean, we always think he's out to kill us, and okay, sure. But you know what is even more delightful to him? Is because he see, whenever he sees you, he sees the image of God. He hates it. And if he can pervert the image of God in you, then he's got glory that belongs to the Lord. And if he can steal glory from God, that's his goal. Because now you are rendered powerless in the kingdom. And you're serving in that area. You're not serving, you're not giving glory to God. You're looking like something else. So if he can pervert a Christian, especially a Christian, because but all mankind is made in God's image. If he can pervert the image, then he gets great delight out of that. There's more enjoyment in that than there is just killing us off. Betty.
I just got an image as you were saying that.
I just got an image when she was speaking on what Satan wants to do, the enemy wants to do, that we're like in the form of us, but it was made of jewels. Beautiful, beautiful jewels. And the enemy was trying to take each piece out. Like there were many colored jewels, and he's trying to take each piece out until he's got it all out, until we just look like a tarnished piece of what held the jewels. So it's not pretty at all.
Yes. He comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, right? And his goal is perversion, not necessarily destruction. Because if he takes you out, what fun is that? But if he can pervert the image of God, that's more fun for him. So, anybody have any questions? I'd like to do another demonstration, just so, because you need to get used to this. So I'd like to do another demonstration if there's somebody that hasn't already. You want to? Rachel? Up here you did? Okay. No, yeah, I know. Yes. I meant a live demonstration if you've not done one. This is Rachel. So what would you like God to do for you today?
I want to be healed from feeling inferior/incapable. It's probably the same thing. I don't know if it's two different things.
I would say those can be connected. So have you thought about the benefit that you've placed on that? If I hold on to the belief that I'm inferior and incapable, what does that do for you?
I feel safer. I don't know, kind of like if I'm not going to step off a cliff and fall, I'm like staying back from that in my mind.
So it keeps you from risking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the benefit to incapable and inferior is that it keeps her from stepping out and risking failure. Yeah. Okay. How would it feel to you not to have that in place anymore?
It would feel good.
feel any resistance.
The Lord's been working on me. I think that my resistance is down.
Good. So you need to ask yourself that. Do I feel resistance? Because if there's any, it's not going to go. Because it knows that it's got permission as long as there's resistance. That makes sense? Okay. So I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And so I want you to picture, so you picture Jesus. That's a humbling place. When you're standing before the Lord and he's got his altar there, and we've placed value on a negative thing, and we're going, and he knows that costs us. That costs us because we're getting rid of flesh here, and that's painful. And so it's just a little bit of circumcision. And so when we do that, the Lord, he knows that it costs us, and that makes his heart tender towards us. Right? So I'm going to just picture Jesus, and he's standing in front of you, and he has his altar, and then just repeat after me.
Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I recognize.
I recognize.
That I have embraced.
That I've embraced. Inferiority.
Inferior and.
Feeling incapable.
And I've used this.
And I've used this. In order to
keep me from risking
failure.
I ask
forgiveness
for doing this.
So now I choose
to break my agreement
with all these things.
And I command
all demonic assignments
connected to inferiority
and failure. Here you have to go.
In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask you to cleanse this place.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you to cleanse this place for her. And what would you like to give her in exchange?
I think he said, you're not going to disappoint me.
How's that feel to you? So now go back to a memory, an early memory, where you had that in place, and see how that memory feels.
I still remember what it feels like. I don't know how to tell if it's...
Is it, if you step into the memory and you let yourself be there, and is there still pain or is it peaceful?
There might still be a little bit of pain.
Okay, what would the pain... Sometimes there's things attached in the memory that go a little beyond what we just covered. What else is in that memory that's uncomfortable?
Feeling rejected.
Feeling of rejection. How would it feel to let that go? What would the benefit of holding rejection be to you?
There's a kind of a comfort in it.
Mm-hmm. It's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead and lay that up on the altar. And just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I recognize. That I've held on to rejection. And I've used this. To keep me comforted.
I ask forgiveness for doing this.
So in Jesus' name. I choose. To break my agreement. With rejection. And its false comfort. And I command these things to go. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I ask you just clean this out for her. And what do you want her to have here in exchange?
He's giving me his favor and, like I say, a crown, like royalty.
How's that feel?
It feels a lot better.
So step back into that memory now.
It feels a lot better. It doesn't feel...
So if the memory is... That was really good because the memory was... It was... It had changed. There was amount of peace, but there was still some discomfort. So don't think that you haven't been healed. Look for what, just ask the Lord. If you can't find it right away, just ask the Lord, what's in that memory? What else is in that memory that I need to look at? Right? And just go with it. Don't get frustrated. I love that because I had no clue what memory she went to. I didn't need to go there. It's just amazing to me. I'm still in awe of God and his willingness to heal. So I'd like to take you all through another session because I want you to get this. I want you to flow with it. I want you to be free, free, free. So everybody that wants to, just find out what is uncomfortable in you that you want to get rid of. A stronghold, a generational curse, a belief about your body or your spouse or what, you know, the Lord, doesn't matter. What is a stronghold or something negative that you struggle with that you want to get rid of? And when you find that, just raise your hand just so I can keep everybody on the same page. Now start looking for your benefit. And if you have trouble, look through your benefit sheet. Look through that sheet and find the benefit. If I hold on to this, what's it going to do for me? When you find that, then just raise your hand so I just can keep you all together. If any of you get stuck, we've got people here that can help you. So don't worry. Y'all got the benefit? Okay. Ask yourself this question. Does it feel okay to give this to the Lord and break agreement with it? If there's any resistance, raise your hand. If anybody's feeling a resistance... Marquito, back there. Anybody else is struggling with resistance? Right here. Anyone else? So if you want to go with Marquito, she'll just help you with that. All right. The rest of you put your... your negative feeling or belief on the altar along with your benefit. And just repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, I recognize that I am holding on to, fill it in. And I've used this for the benefit of, and name your benefit. I ask forgiveness for doing this. So now I choose to break my agreement with and then name your benefit and your negative. And I command all demonic assignments connected to these things to go now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask you just cleanse this place for them. Just clean it out, Lord. And just be open to just receiving. Lord, what do you want them to have in exchange right here? If you're struggling hearing or receiving, just raise your hand. When you feel like you've gotten your exchange, raise your hand. Awesome. That's amazing. Most all of you raised your hand. That's amazing. It's so simple and so powerful. So now, all of you, step back into a memory, an early memory, where you know that that thing was in place, and that if you'd gone to that memory 5 minutes ago, you would have felt it. Step back into a memory and check out the memory. Let yourself be there and feel it. How many of you have peace in that memory? It's awesome. Does anybody feel like the memory is still, you're still struggling with it? Here's one. Rochelle, could you take her? Could you raise your hand again so she can see? I take it you two know each other. Last time. Yeah. Anybody else need help? Barb, could you take one? And Barbara, there's two of them here. I need, guys, raise your hands and just go with these two ladies and they'll help you. Anybody else? Awesome. You guys are doing great. That's awesome. Amazing. Do you feel like you're getting the hang of it? Good. Good. So next week, we're going to talk about soul ties, generational curses, how you tackle those things using the value exchange. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about perspective and being aware of thought life. And so we're going to just dig a little deeper. So if you can stand it one more time, invite you to come back. But I'm going to let you off a little early tonight. We made good time. Anybody have any questions? Betty? A testimony? Awesome.
I had my grandchildren for the week, and the oldest two are 11 and 13, and I used to think it had to be more complicated, and you had to go deep, you know, into it. And this is just so simple that they were complaining about the parents, you know, being angry and, you know, how children will do. And so I just sat and listened. They have a way of just pouring out to me. So I just sat and I listened to them and I was like, okay. And then we were, actually I was taking them home at that point. We were in the car and I said, well, how would it feel to not carry that or to be able to pray about it so that you don't have to carry their anger and you wouldn't feel how you're feeling now? And they said, oh, okay. So would you like to pray about it? And they said, yeah. So they followed me through the prayer, and I, you know, just confessing the anger that they had against the parents for being angry, because we got to the root of that they were angry at their anger. And so they confessed that part of it, and it was released. And when we were done, they were just like, oh, wow, okay. I said, well, what can you do different now, you know? And so they were like, well, when we get home, we're going to help out Mom so she doesn't get frustrated. And so God was just giving them answers, and they were seeing and hearing things, and they weren't raised in a godly home. And so it's, yeah, so easy.
It is easy. Occasionally you can bypass the benefit. Like, it sounds like you didn't go into what the benefit of anger is. Did you do that? Oh, you did do it. Okay. So, but for the most part, you need to be sure you get the benefit thing in there, because that's what's holding the other thing in place. So I just want to encourage you guys, practice on yourself. At the very end of next week, for those of you that want to participate, we're going to then take each other through, so that you'll get a little bit of practice in taking another person through. Just because, you know, we all have friends that are hurting. We have grandchildren. We have opportunity to take another person through. So those of you that want to, but I'm not going to make, yeah, I can't make you do anything anyway. You're all adults, right? But I would encourage you to participate, just because it's a tool in your tool belt that you'll never regret having. It's always available, always, no matter where you go. So, Father, I just thank you for your amazing truth, and I just thank you for who you are and your faithfulness, your heart for us to, your children, to look like you, that we shine with your glory, Lord. I'm reminded of a vision that I had a couple years ago. And in that vision, I saw I saw Jesus, and he's sitting at a jeweler's table, and he had the big microscope magnifying glass, had the hat with the light on. He had everything in place, and he had a rough rock in front of him that looked ugly. It was big, and it looked like just an ordinary plain rock, and nothing pretty about it. And he got his hammer and his chisel, and he was looking, studying this rock. And he kept turning it all around and just studying it. And he finally got to the place where he took that first cut. And I saw the inside of that. I saw that rock. It was beautiful, like ruby. And then he turned it slowly. And he studied again. And then he made the next cut. And I watched him methodically putting everything into making that cut that best brings out the beauty of that rock. That's what he's doing to each one of you. You're each a gem in the eyes of the Lord. He's carefully cutting away the ugly parts and making it so that you can be the most beautiful that he created you to be. Your process. So don't get frustrated with the process. Process. We didn't get wounded overnight. We're not going to get healed overnight. Because in the process, we learn things about God and ourselves. And so the process is actually very important, because it builds things in us, like confidence and faith, trusting the Lord. And we learn his heart the more we listen to him and let him touch ours. And we get that heart connection going. So enjoy the process. Yeah. Thank you, God. We love you. Have an awesome week.